Hello, Rob here again, welcoming you to another Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast, or BTTPP, the podcast where Matt McCauley and I take a random Trivial Pursuit question card, go away, do some research, and come back with some facts, some nonsense, and everything in between. In Season 3, Episode 6, Part 2 of BTTPP, Matt treats us to a description of a new kind of mouse hybrid, and I discover the hidden costly risks of growing a moustache. So, sit back and let your ears take in the wonders of BTTPP. So we're back. I've put your little cheeses in my soft sack.
Lovely.
So I know I got to, I got
to
draw.
You've got to image for my cheese. Yeah.
So yellow.
Yellow. Here's the next
one. And the question for yellow was, which computer company introduced the mouse to the mass market? And the answer is,
it's Apple, isn't it?
It is Apple.
Everybody knows it's Apple. And what a joy this was to research. Because we're being positive, aren't we?
We are, but I'm also hinting... I'm getting a hint of sarcasm there.
No. So, the computer mouse. Wow. There's an exciting topic. And I pretty much straight away went a little bit off topic. I moved away. I'm not big on computers. So I started looking at just mice in general.
I'm big everywhere.
Are you now?
At least that's what I tell myself.
Let's not go there. So I thought, well, I'll look at kind of uses for mice and the things that we do with mice.
Like bait for other animals.
Well, no, I was actually being nicer than that. Oh, I was being nice with my mice.
Okay.
Nice, I was. Nice. Do you remember ear mouse?
I do. We talked about ear mouse before, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. About the genetic engineering of putting an ear on a mouse. I believe I did something. We were talking about 3D printing.
Yes.
And yeah, we'd found something that they
that made ear mouse redundant.
Yes.
Really, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because they printed it rather than printed it on a mouse.
Yes.
Test it out. Yeah. he had two ear mice. Imagine them both in the cage together.
What?
Stop shouting. Keep the noise tank, boy.
Well, I found out, actually, that they've gone one further than ear mouse.
Well, they got two ears on a mouse.
No. Another part of a human has been created on a mouse.
Is it penis mouse?
No, not... Oh, penis mouse would be the best superhero ever. Mighty Mouse? Nah. Danger Mouse? Nah. Here's penis mouse.
Actually, they'd probably put that on a rabbit, wouldn't they?
No, I want to see a human penis on a mouse.
Where would it be? On the back of the mouse?
Like, who cares?
Standing up like a mast. Or actually where his own penis should be.
Oh, that would be unfair on the mouse.
Dragging along. Anchored down.
Oh, poor mouse.
Oh, the image I've got in my head now.
Yes. Okay.
It's not a penis then.
No, I'll help you get rid of that image, because that's not a pleasant image.
Was it an elbow?
No.
A toe?
No.
A nose?
We're gonna be here all day if you can't carry on guessing.
Liver?
No, it's not a liver mouse.
Is it inside or outside?
Well, that's a really good question. That's actually quite difficult to answer.
An anus.
Much closer.
Rectum.
Mouse with a human sphincter.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of sphincter? Because humans have multiple.
Anal sphincter.
A mouse with an anal sphincter.
And apparently they've made lots of these things.
Oh. Is there a dearth? You know, do people need to have new anal sphincters
implanted? There is a need for anal sphincters, particularly in men of a certain age.
What, like prostate issues or...?
Just, they get just slackening of the sphincter.
Okay, which is why you fart more often.
Leaky sphincter.
Right, okay.
So that now they can grow you an anal sphincter on a mouse.
Nice and tight.
Nice, lovely, tight anal sphincter on a mouse, and it can be yours. You,
are you sure, like, they're not just saying, we've grown this anal sphincter on a mouse, and we're going to tighten up your downstairs. But what they're actually doing is just installing a mouse so that when you fart and it squeaks, you think it's been tightened up, but it's actually the mouse going, fuck!
No, because that's silly, right? How do you install a mouse? Think of this, Rob. How do you put a mouse on someone's arse?
Back end first.
So his little mouse mouth.
Yeah, his little mouse mouth is your new installed tight anus.
Oh, that's not right.
So actually, everything goes through the mouse.
So it's like a human caterpillar, yeah. Only worse. That poor mouse.
Oh, God, I can't believe what goes on in my head sometimes.
No, I really can't. And I was trying to look on the positive side, thinking, how cool would it be to be a mouse with a human sphincter growing on you?
Where on the mouse is this sphincter?
No, there are no pictures available to me, so it's down to guesswork.
I don't believe in it, then.
It's true. It's true. No.
There's never any photographs of him, is it?
I've seen a signed picture of Jesus.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who signed it?
Jesus.
No, I didn't.
No. But can you just not imagine just being a little mouse with a massive human sphincter? The fun you can have with your mates.
Yeah, but it's like a basically a sphincter's like a donut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where is this donut? I mean, what? Is it under the skin? I mean,
well,
is it?
If you think of ear
like
mouse,
a buoyancy aid?
Ear mouse.
Yeah.
Right? The ear was grown right in the back of the mouse, yeah. Wasn't it? So yeah. I'm thinking there.
Because it looked like a big sail, didn't it, on the back of the mouse? Mm-hmm. So you reckon it's sort of like upright, like a washer type thing.
Goes, open sesame. Yeah. And watch this, lads. Well, hey! Oh, God. I've got the party chair again. Hang on.
Just check there's not a mouse under it.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Does my bum look big in this?
Does this look big in my bum? Oh, God. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with our lives?
I don't know. But at least we now know about sphincter mouse.
Absolutely. Is that like Danger Mouse?
Yeah, but... Excellent. Danger Mouse has got nothing on sphincter mouse.
Hopefully nothing in sphincter mouse. Either.
He's amazing. He's fantastic.
Whenever there is danger, he is there.
Sphincter mouse.
Oh, God, I'm a child. Carry on. Where did we get to? Sphincter mouse.
So then I left sphincter mouse behind.
That's generally where he is. Yeah. Oh, God.
I like sphincter mouse, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah,
I
couldn't eat all one.
Oh! And then I came across a grasshopper mouse.
Grasshopper mouse.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the grasshopper mouse?
I haven't. Is that a grasshopper or is that a mouse?
It's a mouse.
It's a mouse.
That's called the grasshopper mouse.
Right, okay.
He lives in the US and Mexican deserts.
Okay.
And he is pretty much...
Well, he lives in both of them. He just bounces backwards and forwards between the two.
Oh, okay. He likes to commute. And he's one of the only carnivorous mouses.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently he stalks his prey like a cat.
Wow.
That's cool, isn't it?
A mouse
stalking prey like a
you'd
cat.
You'd never be able to take it seriously, though, would you? You know, if you're a prey, fuck off. Don't come over here looking like a cat. You're a mouse. Get back where you belong. Go on. Get back to Mexico.
Okay.
Arriba! Underlay.
But guess what he eats? Guess what his prey is?
Is it grasshoppers?
No.
Is it crickets?
No.
Is it bananas?
You're going to be so impressed by what this what this guy
cats.
Eats. Right, he eats...
Kangaroos.
No.
Emus.
No.
Ostriches.
Do you know what? I wouldn't put it past him.
Donald Trump.
If he had a bit of a hunger on, I reckon he'd have any of them because he's a hard little fucker.
Is he? Like
he is,
a bear.
He'd have one.
Would he? Yeah. Yeah.
But is generally, on the whole, his prey is snakes, scorpions, other mice, and creatures that are highly venomous.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's got a hardcore diet then.
He's, yeah.
Does he eat fugu?
Fugu?
You know, like blowfish.
Probably. He'd have them. Yeah.
Crocodile.
He'd the lot.
Yeah. Wow.
He's actually immune to venom.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He particularly likes centipedes.
Okay. Are they venomous?
Oh, you know those big centipedes
adamantium that bosses.
Inject venom through forcipules.
How many forcipules?
Forcipules.
Forcipules?
Yes. Not one forcipule.
Not
two forcipules. Not three forcipules, but forcipules. like that they go. And he howls like a wolf.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What a mouse this is.
Are you sure it's a mouse?
He's definitely a mouse.
Sure it's not a wolf.
He's yay big.
Yeah. He could lick your bollocks, no problem.
He goes round in a pack. And he does dog shit.
Or wolf shits.
No. He's reliant on a meat-based diet. And he's really agile.
Okay.
He's a grasshopper mouse. Do you want to know what his means of attack is?
Go on.
Okay, this is what he does.
Does he have ladders?
No. Doesn't need them.
Doesn't need them. Doesn't do night surprises with his ladders.
You'll have it all.
Call back.
No, this is what he does, right? His method of attack, jump and bite.
Bit of a like death by a thousand cuts
type
thing.
Yeah, exactly like that. So you just bounce, bite.
So the like snake or whatever's going, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, get out, yo, you're back.
And then just,
I'm done. That's exactly how he does it.
Tires, mate, wow.
Mm-hmm. But he does have a weakness. He's got small legs and a wide body.
Oh, so it looks a little bit like a skateboarder.
Yeah.
Oh, how's he jump?
I don't know. But he does it. He manages it. Clearly he manages
it. Yeah. That must look really weird.
Yeah. And apparently there's this kind of evolutionary war of attrition where the venom of the kind of local snakes and scorpions is getting more potent.
Oh, okay.
And so then the kind of the numbers of mice, grasshopper mice, go down a bit, but then they become more immune again.
Yeah.
And there's this constant sort of like battle between the two of them.
Wow.
But yeah, so that got me thinking about people with small legs and wide bodies. I've known a few.
Yeah.
And generally I think just avoid people like that in life.
Danny DeVito's one of those, isn't
he? Yeah. Although he's probably one of the nicer ones.
He's one of the ones you probably like to engage in conversation with, I think.
Yeah. Because a lot of little blokes are just like vicious arseholes, aren't they?
Yeah. Small man.
Yeah.
Syndrome. Yeah.
And actually, a US study published in the Personality and Individual Differences Journal, right?
Yeah.
They did this study where they had 367 participants, and they completed... I've gone from mice to small people now.
I gathered that.
Yeah, okay. They completed the Dirty Dozen Dark Triad questionnaire.
The Dirty Dozen Dark Triad questionnaire.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds weird. That's a lot to unpack there. So you got the Dirty Dozen, like the film The Dirty Dozen,
where
people going off to kill Hitler who were
one,
criminals.
One, two, the guards are through.
Yeah, and then the triads are basically the Chinese mafia.
Yeah. I think you're conflating this questionnaire with a popular culture and criminal activities it's about the dark triad as like three different things.
Okay.
So three different character traits that if you've got all three or any three of them,
right,
it means you're a wanker.
Okay.
And right. There are a dozen questions to decide whether you've got three of those traits and you're a wanker.
Okay, give me the questionnaire then.
Okay, right. So,
because I know that's where this is heading.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to find out whether I have small man syndrome. Got
it. That's it. Because it says it. If you've got them, it's more likely you're a bastard.
Okay.
So, and you've just got to say yes or no to these.
Okay.
Okay. I tend to be cynical.
True.
That's one. I have used deceit or lied to get my way. Be honest, Rob. Be honest.
No, I don't believe I have.
Okay.
It's not to say I haven't lied.
No.
But, you know, Evan, I'm 51 years old. You cannot get to 51 years old without having told at least one lie. But... Not to necessarily get my own way. Although saying that, why would you lie other than to protect something? It's harder than that.
So we'll call that a yes.
Yeah, go on then.
All right. I tend to want others to admire me.
Yes.
Okay, so you've ticked three so far. I tend to seek prestige and status.
No.
No. All right there. I tend to want others to pay special attention to me.
Well, I do stand-up comedy. What the fuck do you think I do that? Yes.
So that's another yes. I tend to be callous or insensitive.
No.
No, that's not you. I tend not to be too concerned with the morality of my actions.
No, I am very concerned about the morality of my actions.
I tend to expect special favours from others.
No.
I tend to manipulate others to get my way.
No.
I tend to lack remorse.
No.
I tend to exploit others.
No.
I have used flattery to get my way.
At some point, probably in the past.
But what this tells us is that actually you do not have the dark triads of Machiavellianism, narcissism and psychopathy.
I'm glad of that.
Yeah. But in general, the people that do, they tend to be short asses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shorter people tend to be twats.
But...
According to this data.
But that's also, you know... Donald Trump is 6'2".
Is he though? Because he wears some special stacked heels, doesn't he?
But he's not a short person, regardless of whether he's like, he's not going to be like under 5'6", is he?
No.
I think we'd know that. And he's all of those traits.
He
the
is.
The Machiavellian, the narcissistic. So he is a problem. So I think actually putting the height element with it, it's a bit like. It's that whole what's the thing about causation and
I don't know because I remember being in a pub in Swansea when I was probably in my early 20s and some bloke came up to me and he said you need to get out of here now
right
and I said why is that. And he said, my mate over there, he's decided he wants to kill you.
Right.
And I said, well, and I thought, I can usually resolve situations like this. I said, it's all right, I'll buy him a pint, it'll be fine. And he said, look at him. I looked over, there was this tiny little short bloke with bulging eyes, with a face like he had murder on his mind right there and then.
Yeah.
And it was because he was short.
It could have been because he was Welsh.
Ah, oh, I overlooked that. Damn, yeah, sorry.
Could have been he was from Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been the fact that he was suffering from monumental hemorrhoids.
Honestly, that was the look on his face.
It could be just thought you were a twat.
Monumental, nobody would think that though, Rob. Come on. I mean, the hemorrhoids thing, maybe his panty gusset was...
But you know what I mean?
Maybe his panty girdle was giving him problems.
I struggle with all of these things where it says like this is the cause of this, and they give one characteristic is the thing. I'm...
Science, though, isn't it? Science.
Yeah, but science is theory, isn't it? It's not all. It's not all proven. That's the point of it. That's why it works.
That is why we love science.
Yeah, because it is all provable or not, as the case may be.
Okay, I stand corrected. I stand down.
As a tall man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. That was. I enjoyed that. That was very good.
I did too.
Yeah. I think we learned a lot.
Yeah.
There, we certainly learned a lot about small people, and we learned a lot about the sphincter mouse.
Yes, we did.
That's
the smelliest of all the mice. Yes,
I'm going to make a note of sphincter mouse. How do you spell sphincter?
S P H I N C T E R.
There we go.
Written. Sphincter mouse.
So, in that case, I've got to put orange and whatever the other one was. What? I can't remember what the other one was I had.
Curious.
Orange and pink. Orange. Go dip your fingers into my soft.
I have to give you a soft bag, get it a bit closer to my hands. Pink.
I do apologise. I keep sort of wandering away from the mouse because I'm making notes. So, the question was for Pink. Which classic 1950s Marlon Brando movie asks the question, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got?
And the answer is?
I've forgotten momentarily. Rebel Without a Cause? No. The Wild
One. The Wild One. Yeah. See, you said you did this last time. I read the question, you went, what have you got? And that is actually part of the answer, is what have you got? The answer is actually The Wild One. But you didn't know The Wild One. I'm very disappointed.
I'm sorry.
I don't apologise, because I didn't know what it was myself. but there we go. A few facts on Marlon Brando.
Go on.
His signature was considered so valuable that if he ever wrote anybody a check, a personal check, they very rarely cashed it in, because his signature was generally more valuable than the value of the check.
Wow.
So they'd keep it.
That's quite cool.
It's amazing, isn't it? So he was an avid user of...
That works in his favour in so many different ways.
Doesn't it just? He doesn't actually shell out any money at all. Yeah. And actually, if they were to sell it, he can go, well, you haven't cashed a check, don't have to do it. And by the way, I'm now more famous, so therefore my next signature becomes even more valuable. He was an avid user of the internet in his final years.
Was he?
And my favourite bit of this fact...
When did he die?
I don't know, I will find out. My favourite bit about the fact that he used to use the internet was that he often used to go into chat rooms to start arguments. Now, I like that. That tickled
me. Have you ever done that?
What, just go and start an argument? Yeah. Oh, I constantly put things on Facebook like that. One of my favourite... I'm going to give a little secret away now. Mm-hmm. But one of my favourites is to go onto Facebook periodically and just throw out the fact that... Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie.
I've noticed.
Yeah. What you might notice is I get lots of responses to that in different ways, but I get lots of responses. I've even started to get people sending me things without me putting it on. So I've had a couple of people in the last month or so send me the Die Hard advent calendar, which is basically Hans Gruber falling down.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yes. So every day. And they'll send me these things. Now, the key to the whole thing is to not respond.
Really?
So I don't answer. I don't respond to anything that's posted to me. I don't respond to any of the replies that are put on when I put it out. I just periodically throw it out there.
You just drop the bomb and walk away.
Just deal with it.
Like the blue touch paper.
Exactly. And it is so much fun. The amount of stuff that comes back my way is great. It's really funny. Do you do that? Do you go on and start arguments? Like, do you press buttons?
I used to do it more on sort of like... more kind of right-wing Facebook pages and just say things that, like, you know, little things like, you know, I quite like being gay.
Excellent. Yeah.
And just little things that really wind people up.
I did one fairly recently, and it was in response to actually a tweet on Charlie, my son's Twitter feed. Somebody had come back with something, and they'd shared a screenshot of the American football, the MLS, the table. Now, in the UK, the football tables go games played,
points scored.
Games played, points scored is always the last column.
Okay.
All right. You can expand it because you can have goals for at home, against right. home, and all that sort of stuff. But generally, the points is in the last column.
Okay.
So it's games played, games won, games lost, games drawn. Can be goals scored, and then the points.
Right.
So the points is always in the last one. In this particular graphic, it was games played, points, and then the games, like, you know, won, lost, drawn. So I just posted something on here and I said, look, if you're going to play our sport, because this was from America, if you're going to play our sport, this is how it goes. And I just left it at that. And the abuse that came out. In the end, Charlie had to mute the post because he was getting his ping, 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 ping. All these people from America going, oh, what's the matter with you? They were rather...
These people are very easily wound up.
Oh,
though,
completely.
They?
It's so much fun. Mm. It's great. You were going, oh, there was one that said, typical European doesn't know his own system and posted up the Spanish table. And I'm thinking, you've just said a lot more about yourself than you haven't about anything else. The fact that you think that everybody outside of America or everybody in Europe is playing in the same league. You know what I mean? And we don't have our own countries and our own way of doing things. Anyway, that's a slight aside.
I think I said on a British patriotic Facebook page, I put something about people in Kent having more in common with the French than the English. No. And that didn't go down at all well.
I bet. Love it. So do you remember Marlon Brando in Superman?
Yes.
Yeah, so he played
Superman's dad.
L. Yes. And he got more money for that appearance than Christopher Reeve did in the title role.
Wow.
And then he later sued for a percentage of the film's profits.
What a bloke.
Yeah, so that's somebody who knows his own worth. And now this was a great fact that I found out, which led me onto something really nice. So his best friend was somebody called Wally Cox, right? And he'd known him since he was a child. And he then met him again later on when they were both aspiring actors in like the 1940s. And then... And it says that there wasn't a day went by when he didn't think about Wally. And he felt so close to him at the end that he even kept the pyjamas that he died in. Right? Now, that whole fact led up to that last five words. He kept the pyjamas he died in.
Yeah.
See, that took a bit of a handbrake turn at the end there, didn't it? Mm. You know what I mean? You like somebody so much. You're friends with somebody so much. You can have the pajamas.
No, I love both my parents.
Yes,
I have no interest in the pajamas they died in.
No, that's weird, isn't it?
That is
so.
Odd.
That took me onto strange bequests.
Okay,
so things that have been left to people after they've died. Now we've spoken about this guy before, and I listened to the recent episode of BTTPP where we spoke about this. Now, you suggested it was John Stuart Mill, the guy in the cabinet.
Oh, but it wasn't, was it? It
somebody
was
called
Jeremy
Bentham.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jeremy Bentham, if you don't know this already, ladies and gentlemen, was a 18th, 19th century social philosopher, and he left the world, his preserved and clothed body, So since his death in 1832, his clothed skeleton topped with a wax head. Model of Bentham's head has been preserved in a wooden glass cabinet known as the Auto Icon. So I don't know what that stands for. I don't know what what that means, but and it's in the University College London and is occasionally moved so that Bentham can attend meetings. originally, he was saying he didn't want it to be a wax head originally. He actually carried around the glass eye he wanted used in his preserved face for years before his death. But
the it's got to be this one.
Yeah. But apparently the preservation process distorted his face, so they put the wax one in. I mean, he wasn't going to complain, was he? For years, Bentham's real head sat between his feet in the Auto Icon, but it was such a target for pranksters that it eventually had to be locked away. Can you imagine? We've got his head. You might go out and play rugby with it or something.
I just think he probably attended lots of student parties.
I think so. Somebody called Hannah Beswick or Beswick. So her fortune was ultimately inherited by the doctor who embalmed her body when she died in 1758. And it's because she was so terrified of being buried alive that she wanted, she basically instructed Dr. Charles White to ensure that she wasn't buried alive.
Right.
So he didn't bury her. He mummified her, wrapped her in tar-infused bandages, leaving her face uncovered and peeping out from a grandfather clock.
What?
So once a year, according to her wishes, he formally examined his patient to confirm she was still dead. Right? And then Dr. White left the mummy to a doctor friend of his in his will. So when he died, he left this body to somebody else for this other person to take care of. And she was finally given a burial in Manchester in 1868 when it was agreed beyond certainty, 90 years after she died, that she was actually dead. But can you imagine going into a place with a grandfather clock
with the face? It's horrible. That's like the worst horror film ever.
Isn't it? It's just freaky. And can you imagine being the doctor that got left that in his will? You know what I mean? It's like, you're joking. What can I do with that? Somebody called Sandra West was a California socialite and oil heiress. And when she died, she was only 37, sadly. And she requested that she be buried in my lace nightgown, in my Ferrari, with the seat slanted comfortably. Mm. And they did exactly that. So she had this powder blue 1964 Ferrari 330 America.
And she's buried in it.
And they buried it, but they covered the car in cement to deter car thieves, stop people digging it up, which is good because they'll sell for well over $300,000 now.
Right.
So it's, but yeah, so they did that. Somebody called Luis Carlos de Narona Cabral da Camara was a Portuguese aristocrat, but he died a bachelor and childless. So he divided his estate by picking 70 names at random from the Lisbon phone book. And when he died 13 years later, his attorneys just went around all the unsuspecting beneficiaries and they stood to inherit his cash.
Wow,
home
that
and
is
car.
Wonderful.
Isn't
I
it
like
great?
That.
Yeah, just I give really it to a load like of strangers.
That. Yeah.
Somebody called S. Sanborn was a 19th century New England hatter. And he left, this is quite grim, he left a pair of drums made from his own skin. And his friend was given instruction that he had to go to Bunker Hill every June the 17th and play Yankee Doodle Dandy on the drums.
One, two, three.
On your mate's skin. There was a lawyer from Iowa called T.M. Zink, who died in 1930, and he really did not like women. He was very anti-women. And it said when he died, he left his daughter $5 and his wife got nothing. He stipulated that the rest of his $100,000 estate be put in a trust for 75 years, then used to create the Zinc Womanless Library. The library would have no feminine decorations, no books or magazine articles by female authors, and was required to have no women admitted carved into the stone over the entrance. What the fuck happened to him? He's had a rough one, hasn't he?
Oh, dude. Just let it go, mate. Let it go. Yeah, it's all right.
It's not worth it. After you're dead, there's... Robert Louis Stevenson was an interesting one. He bequeathed his birthday to somebody. So he had a friend
called...
he had a friend called Annie H. Ide. And she'd always complained to him about her birthday being on Christmas Day. She hated her birthday being on Christmas Day. So... it says that, so the writer's birthday, so Robert Louis Stevenson's birthday was November the 13th, and he bequeathed that to her and said, providing she took care of it with moderation and humanity, the said birthday not being so young as it once was.
That's quite sweet.
It's nice, isn't it?
That's lovely.
I like that. Henry Budd died with £200,000, but nobody's quite sure how he came into that money. But he died in 1862, so £200,000 in 1862, a lot of money. And he left a substantial fortune to his two sons on the condition that neither sullied his lip with a moustache. Now that's quite an easy one to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine? Like, suddenly he grows a moustache. Somebody turns up and goes, "Money back! Come on, put the money back!" But my moustache. I'm keeping my moustache. To devil
sullied his lip with a moustache. Yeah. A dirty moustache.
Dirty moustache. Yeah. Then there's this one in. This is an anonymous one, but a public-spirited donor made £500,000 bequest to Britain back in 1928, which is now worth more than £350 million. But unfortunately, the anonymous donor was very specific about how the money should be spent. It should only be passed on once it is enough to clear the entire national debt. So sadly, at the moment...
It's never going to...
No. The national debt at the moment is $1.5 trillion.
That's weird.
And so the country cannot touch that money until it's enough to clear it.
But it never will be...
And it never will. It never will.
So that money's just sat there.
Yeah. It'll do nothing. Nobody will benefit from it. So, and it's essentially, if you think about it, it's just taken out of circulation completely.
What a wanker.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? You think he's trying to do the world a favour and he's just fucked it up for everybody, isn't he, really? I'd be more than happy to take that off their hands and do something. Get it back into the economy. Get it working. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I could make £350 million work.
I think I probably could.
I'd make it work really fucking hard. So that was where Marlon Brando took me.
That's amazing. I really like that. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Cool. I think, would you like another drink?
Oh, yes,
you seem
please.
To be empty.
Yeah.
Right, so we'll have a brief pause and we'll come back in a minute.
Sphincter Mouse, ladies and gentlemen. We give you Sphincter Mouse. Not literally, obviously. I mean, where would you put it? Maybe don't answer that. Anywho, if you want more information about Barking Toad and what we get up to, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can check out our website at barkingtoadcomedy.com. And don't forget to leave us a review. And tell your friends. Bye.